Well, I'm going to encourage you, if you're able to do so, to turn to Psalm 103. That is going to be our text today for our message. And we're starting, of course, as you know, from the last couple of weeks, the Summer of Psalms. And we've done this before the last couple summers. In fact, it just works out so good with 150 psalms to pick from. It's really easy to go through that, and we won't duplicate anything. We'll have many years of this. So again, we're going to do the Summer of Psalms. And today, Psalm was Psalm 103. And I'd like to have you find that. We won't read through all of it, but I would begin today by reading verse 1 to kind of set the pace for us today of Psalm 103. That does appear on the screen overhead, and I maybe direct your attention here. Let's read this together as a congregation. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Heavenly Father, this is your word for us today, and we do pray now for your mercy and for your grace and for your guidance, that you would remove distractions of the heart and of the soul and of the mind today, and that, Lord God, we would look to you and that we would find blessing and favor in and through the truths of your words. Your words are life, God, and they are truth. Sanctify us in accordance to this truth, we pray now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've titled today's message, Contagious Praise, and it's kind of a, maybe not a very politically correct name given some of the stuff that's been going on in our world these last couple years, but I do think it's important to recognize that this thing of praise, although we try to avoid infection of all sorts medically, and we wash our hands and all this kind of good stuff, which is important for us, I do think today that I want us to ask ourselves, are we filled with the bug of contagious praise? And that would be one example, I think, of something that we want to have. That would be a bug or an illness, if you want to use that word, that we would desire to have, that we would be a people that have a contagious praise. And as we know about, even about illness and sickness, something that's contagious is passed along. And I will assure you of this, that when we come to that place of possessing a heart of praise, that praise indeed is contagious. And I believe that's one of the things that every church should be aspiring to, that we would have a heart of contagious praise. So today we're going to start with Psalm 103. And there's all kinds of psalms in the scripture that depict praise, and we could have picked any of them. But Psalm 103, I think, is special, because it is a grand psalm of praise. And in fact, I'll put up here on a screen a quote by Charles Spurgeon. And, you know, between him and Martin Luther, they've got a lot of things figured out. But listen to what Charles Spurgeon writes in regard to Psalm 103. It says, "There is too much in the psalm for 1,000 pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures which is a Bible in itself, and it might alone almost suffice for the hymn book of the church." Amen and amen. That's on the thoughts of Charles Spurgeon. So we're going to try to attempt today. Again, I apologize in advance. There's no way that we're going to be able to dwell on all the depths of this psalm. We're just going to be able to look at this in a brief way. But I pray today that we would have a heart that is filled with a contagious praise as we look to the truths of Psalm 103. So the question that I'd like us to think about today and answer is this: how do I know? How do I know if I'm infected with the bug of contagious praise? That's the task at hand today. How do I know if I am infected with the bug of contagious praise? All right, we're going to begin point number one. Contagious praise, first of all, observe, is not a suggestion. All right, not a suggestion. All right, so we're going to begin Psalm 103. Notice how, again, it begins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Some of you, instead of the word bless, have the word praise. What that word means literally is to adore. It means to worship. It means to speak excellent of somebody. In this case, of course, it means to speak excellencies about God and about the Lord. But it means literally that we would adore him, that we would worship him, that we would fall down before him. And it's interesting because this word is used three times here in this text. Bless the Lord, bless his holy name, bless the Lord. And there is a repeated emphasis upon the necessity of praising and glorifying God. That's how the psalm starts. And in fact, verse 1 would be sufficient for us today to recognize how praise must be contagious. And David here, he speaks of this, and he talks about this contagious praise, and he talks about the fact that we are called to bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I do think it's important that we recognize that this word bless in this context, this is not a suggestion. In fact, the word is in the imperative. It means it is a command. It is an order given to us in the scripture that we are called upon to praise and to bless the name of God. That's what we're called to do here today. This is not some suggestion that God just gives to us if we feel like it. And in fact, to be honest, I'm sure there are many of you today that don't really feel like praising God. Things are not going so well in your lives. There are great burdens and there are great difficulties and there are great obstacles. And yet I implore us today that we need to recognize that, as especially as we enter into God's house, that we praise Him, that we give thanks for all that He has done. And we're going to go through that a little bit later on here. But that we would give praise. But what happens to us? What happens to us? We forget, don't we? We forget. And again, last week I talked shame on us about not reading the scripture. Shame on us for forgetting. And in fact, scripture is replete with encouragements to God's people not to forget. And what's sad, and it's true about human nature, what are we most apt to forget? We're most apt to forget things that are graciously and continually given. That's what we're most apt to forget. That's what we're most apt to take for granted. Those things that are given graciously, those things that are given continually, we're apt to forget. That's why I'm grateful for days like Memorial Day. Let's remember the sacrifice. Let's remember the men and women of the armed forces that have defended our freedoms, that continue to do so. But there's a tendency that we want that we take the blessing of that, but we don't recognize the cost. And it causes us then to forget, and we need to be on guard against that. You may ask, why do we forget? What causes us to forget? I think one of the main reasons we forget is our abundance. We've got so many other things in our life to bring us amusement and bring us pleasure that we don't have time to think about all these other benefits. We get busy. We get forgetful. We get active in our own little deals and our own little stuff, our own little agendas. And we begin to forget about the greatest gift of all, the gift that God has given to us in life itself. And we begin to take that for granted. You know what happens when we do that? When we forget, when we neglect to give thanks, when we neglect to give praise to a God who is worthy of all of our praise, we begin to succumb to a spirit of entitlement. And I'll guarantee you this, there's few things in this world as ugly as the spirit of entitlement. A spirit of thinking that, this is owed to me. This is deserved to me. And we need to be on guard against that. Because that's what happens when we forget. We become entitled. We begin to think that we deserve this. We begin to think that somebody owes me this stuff. And dear friends, you know what that does ultimately? That gives birth to a spirit of sin. I think that's one of the great dangers that we face in this nation today. With all of our great abundance and all of the goodness that is all around us, that there comes this spirit of sin, the spirit of recognizing that we are owed this or we are entitled this, and we need to be on guard today. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to recognize and to apply point one. Contagious praise is not a suggestion, all right? Contagious praise is not a suggestion. And in fact, in scripture here, it is actually a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. All right. Point number two that we want to talk through today is this. Contagious praise is personal. And what I'm going to do with this psalm today, the next three points, I'm going to break the psalm down. I think there's three pieces to this psalm about how this contagious praise is built up in the psalm itself. So first of all, notice in verses 3 through 5, or actually 2 through 5, this contagious praise is personal. Now notice it says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Did you catch that? So David here, as he begins going through this idea of praising God, notice where he begins. Where does David begin? Does David begin with his neighbor? Does David begin with the person sitting next to them? Does David begin with this co-worker over here? No, what's David do? When David calls forth this idea of praise, of this praise of blessing, what's he do? He starts where? With himself. We do well to remember that. We spend so much time worrying about the other guy or the other gal. Let's worry about ourselves today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. David makes this declaration that this praise begins with himself, not with somebody else. It begins with himself. And then notice what David says. He says, all of my soul. That word all is significant. That word all means everything. It means all-encompassing. It means your intellect. It means your heart. It means your soul. It means your body. It means your emotions. It means all that you are is called upon to praise the Lord. And David begins this psalm in that way, with this command and this reminder that we're to praise him with all of our being. So do you see what happens then, dear friends? That if we come with half-hearted praise, if we come with apathetic praise, guess what? That's not pleasing unto God. God desires our all. He wants our hearts all in it today. He wants us to be focused upon him. He wants us to be praising him. And I would ask today that we would recognize that there is no place in this psalm or in any place in the Psalms that we would have this half-hearted or apathetic worship. Because the scripture says in this text that God demands our all. He requires our all. He desires all of our praise, not just half of it, not just a portion of it, but he desires all of it. And dear friends, by his grace, may we be able to apply that and recognize that it starts of all being personal. Now, it's personal because notice what happens in the text as we talk about being personal. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So verse 2 introduces this idea. We talked about in verse 1 the importance of not forgetting. And then David here, of course, reminds us of the very same thing. He says, do not forget his benefits. And of course, this next part of this text is one of the most popular portions of the text itself. And probably one of the most familiar for us too, is the idea of what are these benefits? And I think it's important that we recognize, note, let's just go through the list here quick. Verse 3, pardons, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies. And I count verse 5, that idea of being renewed like the eagle as part of that. So he says, who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with all loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. So let's begin. Let's just walk through this. So David then reminds us, this is why. These are the benefits. And dear friends, these benefits are both spiritual and they're material. Notice first of all, number one, what is the first one? Verse 3, who pardons your iniquities. I think it is significant that in the listing of all these benefits, as great as they are, what's benefit number one? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And David knew all about forgiveness, didn't he? If there was ever a man that learned a difficult story about forgiveness, it was David. And dear friends, we're in that same boat. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word forgiveness means to not take into account and to forget. And I want us to observe that in terms of how God works this here. He says, who pardons all your iniquities. Again, notice the idea that none of your sins are remembered when we turn to the Lord. The price that Christ paid for your sins is totally sufficient. There's nothing that you have to do. There's nothing that you need to add. There's nothing that you have to engineer in order to receive that forgiveness, other than trusting in Christ, that we would trust that our sins are indeed forgiven because of Christ's sake. But notice the benefit here. He pardons all your iniquities. Benefit number one. He heals all your diseases. Now, there are some folks that will read scripture like this and make the statement that God wants you to be in perfect health. And in fact, if you're not experiencing perfect health, obviously there's some sin or there's something wrong in your life. And we would hope that we would recognize that's an error. Now, when God's word talks about how he heals all your diseases, it's interesting. The word heals and the word diseases is both physical and spiritual. Back in the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel were going to come out of Egypt, and God inflicted the Egyptians with those plagues elsewhere in Scripture are referred to as sicknesses and illnesses. Now, we would recognize the plagues as physical things in the main, right? And yet God's word calls him also diseases and illnesses. So when God's word says he heals all your diseases, we need not recognize that just as something physical, but especially that which is spiritual. And again, we would recognize that it can't be physical because God doesn't heal physically every person. I think of the circumstance of Paul and the ailment in his eye. God didn't heal Paul, but God did what? What did God do? He granted grace sufficient for Paul. And we would see that perfect health wasn't necessarily God's will. So we would recognize when we talk about being healed here of all of our diseases, again, what is the main disease that we're all infected with? Sin. And God's word says he heals all your diseases. And the main disease we need healing from is that disease of sin. He redeems your life from the pit. That word redemption is a word that means literally to save, to step in, to save, and to deliver. And again, we would recognize that as a consequence of trusting in the Lord, a consequence of trusting in God, a consequence of being rescued from Satan and from the devil. And that we would recognize that our eternity is safe and secure with the Lord. And that indeed he does redeem us from the pit. That pit is a reference to those places of death, those places of harm. Verse 4 also says he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. The word crowns literally means to beautify. It means to bestow unusual honor and favor. And again, we think of the glory and the grace that God grants onto us, and he indeed does show to us unusual favor and kindness and honor, and he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Verse 5, he satisfies your years with good things. The word satisfies your years literally means that he shows me good all the days of my life. And I can't tell you how many days I have woken up and recognized that God is good to me despite myself. Despite myself, God is good and God is faithful. And I pray that that would resonate on our hearts today too, that we would recognize the goodness of God in that. And then it says, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. This word renewed is a word that means to be reinvigorated. And again, I would suspect it's probably more spiritual than material, because we would know that as we age, we do what? Do our bodies get stronger and more vibrant as we age? No, unfortunately, that is not true. And yet, those that hunger and thirst for the Lord, we are strengthened as we come and eat and drink of him and of his spiritual blessings. So David goes through these, just in a few little verses here, goes through and he kind of encapsulates or summarizes all the blessings that are ours in the Lord and in trusting in God. And before we leave this is maybe the most important thing. As you think of those blessings, I want you to observe something, that all of these blessings flow from mercy and not merit. Every one of these blessings flow from God's mercy and not merit. They flow from his love and not your labor. So, dear friends, as we begin to enumerate and reflect, remember these blessings. Remember that these blessings are not to be earned, but rather they are to be received. And I think David encourages us today to recognize that when we receive those blessings, our personal praise must necessarily be contagious. All right? Second or third idea now, I guess I'm miscounting today. Go with me. There we go. Okay, contagious praise is corporate. Okay, so we talked about being personal, and then in the middle here, verses 6 through 18, a large section of scripture here, really talks about the idea of how praise is corporate. And David now turns his attention away from himself and towards the people and the nation of Israel. And he does that, he talks about in verse 6, the righteous deeds, verse 7, made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. And then notice in verse 8, and of course, again, And you need to have this highlighted, all right? I get tired of saying that, but it's true. This is one of those verses, and while you got your highlighter out, go ahead and do 10, 11, and 12 also, all right? So verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Now, David necessarily means this, of course, to himself. We recognize it is self, but David in this context is pointing out the fact that the Lord is gracious and compassionate to his people, to the people of Israel. That quote is all over in Scripture. And in fact, it is the foundational thought of all the Scripture that God, the Lord, is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. It's stated in several places in the Word of God. It is absolutely foundational. Now, what's significant to me is to observe that the first time this statement is made is in Exodus 34, verse 6. And the context is immediately following the failure of the golden calf. So go back and read Exodus 32 and 33. The people of Israel made this huge mistake. God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and they're down in the camp, they're partying and making a golden calf. And of all the times that God's judgment should have just struck the people down, Moses intervenes and he comes down and God shows his graciousness and he grows his compassion. And again, it goes back to that point we made earlier about how God forgives us and God is gracious. This isn't an excuse for us to continue in sin. Please know that. This isn't an excuse that you can just continue in sin because God is gracious. But rather, it should encourage us to know that our sins are forgiven. And that should be motivation for us that we not continue in that sin, but that we turn from it. And we would see that there in this text. This is the foundational truth. And David is drawing that truth not only for an individual, but also for the people of God. This is a portrait of God. This is how God describes himself. And God always is a God that is faithful to his people, even when his people are unfaithful. And again, that's an encouragement for us as we fail. That's an encouragement for us as all of us falter. And then notice what it says in verse 11 through 13. And again, this is where I said, get your highlighter out because this is so good. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Dear friends, again, please note, we merit punishment. If we really were to get our due from God, it would be punishment. And yet, God is compassionate and gracious. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities, but rather he grants to us grace and favor. And I want you to see that the word here uses an unquantifiable measurement, as far as the east is from the west. How can you even measure that? You can't measure it. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are above the earth, you can't measure that. It's unquantifiable, the grace and the mercy that God shows to his people. And again, David is pointing that out to us individually, yes, but also corporately to the people of Israel. And then notice he goes on, and he says in verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The word compassion is literally a word that means to take pity, but it means to love and to care for and to embrace. It's that word of, like holding a child, of holding a baby. It's that idea of taking pity or having compassion on that little one that's defenseless in and of itself. And that's the idea here. God is that kind of a God. He has compassion. He shows us favor and he shows us mercies. And I pray that we would recognize that and that never runs out and never runs low. And then I love how David in this context makes us a reminder. He reminds us of the brevity of man and the eternity of God. And notice when he says brevity, I mean in verse 14, he says, for he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And I think more and more we are reminded of that as we think about how delicate life is and about how quickly life can change. With one phone call from a doctor, a life can be changed. With one phone call from a police officer, a life can be changed, and how short our lives indeed can be. And I pray that we would know that, that we would recognize that this is the day that God has given to me, but he has not promised me any more. I have today, to now, but we don't know how many more. And God's word reminds us of that brevity that all of us have. And I think that that brevity needs to remind us that we need to have a contagious praise, that we would praise him corporally for the many days as he gives us. And of course, the contrast is between man's brevity and verse 17, God's eternity. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. You see, God is eternal. We are not. God is eternal. We are not. We change and we die. God does not. And that should all the more cause us to hold up a contagious praise corporately and as a church family. All right. Last point, short but sweet. You're going to close out today with verses 19 through 22. And you kind of see how we're building here. Personal, corporate, and now universal. And verses 19 through 22 depict that idea of this universal praise. This praise is to be contagious, not only within ourselves, not even in the congregation and community, but all of the known universe also is called upon to praise God. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this hymn then just ends on this declaration that all of the universe, animate and inanimate, all things that are created, all things everywhere, the heavenly hosts, the celestial bodies, ourselves, all that is within the universe is called upon to bless the Lord because he is worthy of blessing. And this praise is to be contagious from us as individuals, from us as a church family, to the entire universe. This praise is universal, and this praise is to be contagious. It's been said that the Christian is to be like a horse with bells on its head. And everywhere that, if you had a bunch of bells on a horse, anywhere that horse went, what would you hear? Bells, they'd be ringing, right? It's been said a Christian is to be like a horse with bells around its head, that anywhere they would go, there would be praise, and that everything that we would do would be in harmony with blessing the Lord. And I want to encourage us today that we want to be infected with the bug of contagious praise. All right. Elizabeth Dutton. You're pretty good with flowers. Now, this is kind of putting you on the spot because there's all kinds of different colors, but what flower is that? It's a forget-me-not. Very good. Excellent. They come in a bunch of different colors, and I thank you. I didn't know if I knew you knew all your flowers, but there you go. It's a forget-me-not. And it's interesting because the forget-me-not, you know the legend behind the forget-me-not? It was told that in Germany back in, I don't know, the 14, 1500s, that there was a knight literally in shining armor. And a knight was walking his girlfriend along this bank, along this river. And as they were walking, they were talking about their great love of one another and all this stuff and the plans they had for their life. And you know, all that mushy, gushy stuff that boys and girls talk about when they're in love, right? And anyway, he loved this gal so much, he saw this posy of flowers along the riverbank, and he bent over to pick it up, and it was a forget-me-not. But the weight of his armor made him lose his balance, and he fell into the river, and as he was going under to drown, he threw this posy of flowers, and he says, forget-me-not. That's how that flower got its name. That's why it's significant. Forget me not. And dear friends, I would implore us today that we do well to forget me not the praise that is due our God, because he is worthy of all our praise. And the question I leave you with today is this: are you infected with the bug of contagious praise? Heavenly Father, use this word today in all of our lives, and may we be infected with the bug of contagious praise. Lord, we love you and we do desire to praise you. And I would ask, Lord, that we would be reminded always of the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ. And that really is the cause of our contagious praise. And Lord God, let us draw near to that forgiveness and recognize that forgiveness as we celebrate all the good that you have given to us and the blessings that you have poured out upon our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You can watch or listen to more messages online by visiting abidingsavior.church. That's abidingsavior.church. You can also submit prayer requests or even give towards our radio ministry from our website. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God bless you richly this week.